Did everyone get enough to eat during the holiday? Thanksgiving holidays always provide that. Amen. Did anyone go back for seconds? Yeah. Did anyone graze on food for the rest of the day as you were watching the games and so forth? Yeah, those are good for that. And then, of course, how many of you said, I'm just so miserable, I'm stuffed? I heard sometimes unbuttoning your pants is almost like popping open a can of biscuits and poof. It just pops open there. Kind of reminds me of a fly that was buzzing along one morning, and he saw this lawnmower in the yard that somebody just had kind of left out there in their front yard. I don't know if they were finished, taking a break or what, but the fly flew over and landed on the lawnmower handle, and he was watching the children go down the sidewalk on their way to school. But one little boy, he tripped on one of the cracks in the sidewalk, and he fell down. He spilled out his lunch on the sidewalk. And so the little boy's quickly picking himself up and packing his lunch inside of his bag and then went on to catch the bus. But he missed a piece of bologna when he did that from his lunch. And the fly hadn't eaten all morning, so he was hungry. So he flew down and started eating on the bologna, kind of munching out on it. And matter of fact, the fly ate so much bologna that he couldn't fly. So he had to waddle back across the yard to the sidewalk, cross the lawn, then hop on the wheel of the lawnmower, then up back up on the lawnmower handle, and he sat there resting. But then when he was up there resting, he still saw some bologna that he left on the sidewalk, and he was just really stuffed. But that bologna sure did look good. So finally the temptation got the best of him, and he jumped off the handle of the lawnmower and then went over to the bologna and ate some there. But after he was done, he was still too full to fly, and he just crawled back up on the lawnmower the best he could. And then all of a sudden, he wanted that bologna so much that he tried to fly to it, and he fell on the sidewalk and just went splat. Killed him instantly. Now you know the moral of that story. It's got to have some type of moral. Moral is this. Don't fly off the handle when you're full of baloney. So remember that during these holidays when we're feasting and when we're having food, just kind of keep yourself at bay, keep yourself in check. This morning, if you have your Bibles, everyone turn to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, Old Testament, right after 1 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 3. We're going to read one verse there, and then we're going to skip over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And that's where we'll land on for the remainder of the message. So, 2 Kings 3 and Deuteronomy chapter 8. Last week, Pastor Adam prepared us for Thanksgiving with his message, Thanksgiving Refreshed. And he referenced 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about receiving mercy. So, as we don't lose heart in reflecting God's light in our lives and letting them shine through, and about how we are not crushed, we're not forsaken, and we're not destroyed, but instead we receive God's unending grace for our lives, in which we become thankful and thank Him for that. And in doing that through thankfulness and gratefulness, we become refreshed as a believer. That's what the scriptures say. As we pour our lives into others, instead of just only wanting God to pour into our lives at times. And then Pastor Adam concluded in Romans chapter 12 by giving us a recipe for refreshment and how it starts with us being a living sacrifice. And so the question was presented by Pastor Adam and asked us, when was the last time that we presented our body as a living sacrifice? And he concluded his message in how to present our body as a living sacrifice, found in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, by showing us what I call the disciples' creed, in which number one is to deny yourself, number two, take up your cross, and number three, to follow me, follow Jesus. And by doing this, you and I will definitely be refreshed and have a heart of thanksgiving inside of us which will always get the Father's attention. And we all want the Father's attention, right? I mean, I do. The best way to get the Father's attention is to give Him our full attention on what attracts the Father. Because there's certain attitudes and there's certain actions which attracts God, and then there's others that repel God. And we want to create an atmosphere that is inviting to God and attracts His presence in us. Amen? I mean, hunters attract wild game using certain sights and sounds and smells, using all types of bait and decoys. I mean, sharks are attracted by blood and chum when they throw in the water, if you want to see a shark or attract them for some odd reason. What attracts romance even within humans or within our spouse or spouse-to-be? We spruce up and wear some nice outfits, hopefully. Hopefully, definitely brush our teeth. Maybe spray some smell-good juice on us, some cologne or perfume. Maybe play some soft music and have a candlelit dinner. I mean, we want to create that right atmosphere and to set the mood to attract one another. But what I want to share with you this morning is what attracts God. But before we begin our worship in the Word, let's shout to the Father, Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we begin this morning by giving You thanks. And all the blessings that You give us, we take time during the year, especially during this time, to give You thanks, for Your love endures forever and ever, and it never fails. And though there's many times in our lives in which we have failed You, You still supply the mercy and grace and just always continue to bless us. And we ask that You would just reveal Yourself to us through the Word this morning, Father. And as we open our Bibles today, we pray that we would be able to hear Your voice in our hearts. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would just work within us to just reveal Scripture to us in wisdom and understanding and knowledge. We ask for the opening of our ears to hear and our hearts to receive Your Word to our lives. May we be transformed into Your likeness this morning. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, well, look with me in this morning with 2 Kings chapter 3. Scroll down to verse 16. And it says, and He said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of trenches," or ditches in the New King James Version. And then turn left in your Bibles and go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse 7. It says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. You will lack nothing." That's good news, isn't it? It's time for you and I to get off to get our flow back into our lives from God. Let's read on. "You will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills you will dig copper." And then in verse 10, it says, "When you have eaten and you are full," everybody say full. Amen. That's pretty easy, especially after Thanksgiving. "Then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land and He has given you. Beware that you do not forget your Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full," everybody say full again, "and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Verse 14, when your heart is lifted up, don't forget the Lord your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And then don't you dare say, go down to verse 17, that my power and my might, my hand, has gained me wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. God is not attracted to fullness. God is attracted to emptiness. God is attracted to needs in our life. And today, I'm pretty sure all of you, including myself, we all have needs. Because there's this invisible law called the law of attraction. It was a New York Times best-selling book. One man wrote it called The Law of Attraction. And in it, he uses secular things in which he bases his book on. But this morning, I want to kind of give you God's law of attraction. What attracts God this morning? Because God is driven by a need. God is attracted to a need. God says, if you fill my house full of problems, then I will fill that house with my presence. The more problems that we have, and we do have a lot of them here today. I mean, how many of you here this morning, probably most everyone here has some kind of problem in your life. Let me see your hand. Okay, pretty much everybody. And God says that the reason that there's going to be a heavy presence is because my people bring problems. And they don't keep them all inside, but they give them to me. And so what I'm saying to you today is that when God told the prophet in 2 Kings that we read about, in the middle of his need that he had, God told him to dig a ditch. God was saying, I want you to make a valley, matter of fact, of a whole valley full of ditches. And then when the rain does come, you won't see any clouds, you won't see any rain, you won't even hear it coming, you won't ever see the rain coming at all. Matter of fact, you'll probably start to wonder, but it is going to rain. And all I need you to do is that when you create a need, then watch me do the miraculous. So dig a ditch. Now, that would have to be something for a prophet to do that without any signs of anything but to dig a ditch. Create a need. Ask me for more. Step out of the safety that you're used to all the time and the comforts that you give yourself all the time and dig a ditch. And God is saying that He is never put off by our need and our needs. He likes it when we are needy concerning Him. One thing that God Himself cannot have is a need. But He requires every one of us to have a need. And lean in on this one. What happens is our security, I think, our own self-security that we like to do many times, and our own blessing that we like to kind of create within ourselves, is a lot of times we can get so full because we're so insulated from the things that we anticipate to happen or that we fear happening, that we insulate ourselves and we become full. But that can be the very thing that locks God's miraculous power out of our life. It's different. I mean, it's just because what happens is we become self-sufficient instead of having a need or digging a ditch. And we forget to say to God, I need you. I still need you, God. I don't think it ever has to end. I don't think that the increase ever has to stop that God blesses us with. The Bible is full of promises where God blesses His children and blesses those who honor Him and worship Him and believe in Him and are obedient to Him. But I do think it stops when we stop digging ditches. I think it stops like the woman who had that one little pot of oil, and the prophet said, go fill your house, do what you need to do, borrow as many vessels from your neighbors as you can. Don't just borrow a couple, borrow a bunch of them. And the Bible said that when she did that, this woman filled every one of them with oil, and the scripture said she did it to where there wasn't any other vessels left. And so when there wasn't any vessels left, the oil ceased. Why? Because of God's law of attraction. The moment that you and I say, I'm full, the moment you and I say, you know, I'm good, I don't need anything, the moment that you sit in church and sit without any hunger in your life, the moment that you say, hey, you know, I've got everything I need, God, you just have blessed me beyond my wildest dreams, thank you, I'm good, no thanks. Well, then God says, my oil, which is my anointing, my Holy Spirit, I will find somebody else then. I'll find somebody else who has dug a ditch and who has a need. And when that happens, they go from glory to glory, from faith to faith to carry them over. And God continues to fill them. May we never get so comfortable that our security locks God out of our lives. Because we can do that. Why? Because we have learned to do things on our own. We have learned to do things without God. If I'm in need, I don't need to ask God. I just pull out the old MasterCard. Ching, fulfilled. And we do that. And it does happen. It satisfies your need. But how many of you know that there's also a payment at the end that we either don't want to see or refuse to see until it's there? Oh, I bought everybody stuff for Christmas. And then January rolls around. Oh, I don't like Christmas anymore. That's because you fulfilled your own need. You know, God's not an American. What does that mean? What do you mean by that, Eric? Why would you say a statement like that? Because in America, we want everybody to be strong. We want everybody to be dependent because everybody wants freedom and everybody wants dependence. Independence, that's what the nation is founded on. And we're proud of that, by the way. But God is wanting you and I to be dependent upon Him in everything that you do. And so you better dig a ditch if you want that to happen. I mean, I don't know what you're trying to reach for, or I don't know what your dreams or aspirations in your life's are, or your visions that you have in your life, but I do know this, that you better dig a ditch, because that's what attracts God. If you want to see the miraculous, if you want to just continue doing things on your own and then just inviting God every now and then to maybe give you a little blessing, a little cherry on top, that's your choice. But if you want to dig a ditch and if you want the miraculous to happen in your life, then you've got to dig a ditch. And you've got to say, God, you are so big that it's just impossible for me to do this thing unless you come and you pour yourself on me and my heart, my life, my family, my work, my job, everything that I have. And when you reach that point in your life and you say to Him, what happens then is this unexplainable dynamic happens when you begin to surrender to God. This dynamic, supernatural thing will just begin to burst forth. And all I can say that, I mean, it's just hard for me to describe how the Spirit does that in your life when you release the anointing and it just fills your life and you're able to understand and do things that you have never done before because you have finally surrendered your will to God and say, God, I allow you to do this. I don't care how foolish, I don't care how silly I look, work within my life. I mean, you figure a guy has to be pretty silly to be digging ditches in the midst of a famine, in the midst of a dry desert. Why is this guy digging ditches? Does he think it's going to rain or something? Hadn't done that in 3 years. You have to be willing to surrender your life to Christ. Doesn't mean you have to be a clown, but people may think that you're a clown in your faith. And you have to say that I did what I could do, and now, God, you have to do what you need to do, what I could not do. I give up. I'm tired. And it happened when you dig a ditch. The law of attraction kicks in. It's a law. The law of attraction. Because God is not drawn to the fullness. There's a difference between loving God. There's a difference between wanting God, and there's a difference between needing God. And God is not attracted to the full. I mean, listen to this. The law of attraction is not what about that is right in your life, but is more about what is wrong in your life. The law of God's attraction in your life is not what's fixed in your life that you've managed to get your act together, but what is still broken. The very thing that you want to hide in your life, the very thing that you want to cover up and don't want anybody to know about your business, because we all have these problems, if you're honest. I don't care how holy you think you are. You have them. I have them. We all have those problems. And we put on this nice Christian face and we come to church every Sunday and we sit there shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the very thing that you are keeping concealed and the very thing that you don't want anybody to know is not what is fixed, but what is broken. And that attracts God. Why is it that we have created such a culture of shame in the churches? If your life is broken, it's almost like they say, oh, there's another one going down the aisle. Wonder what he did. I wonder if I can contact one of the prayer counselors and see if they'll spill the beans. I mean, we've created this culture of shame. It ought to be more that that God blesses us. The more that we need Him, the more that we should be digging ditches all of the time. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, he says, three times, fix me, fix me, fix me. I've got this thorn in my flesh, God. Take it away. Please just take it away. Can you just take it away? Then in verse 9, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. God was telling Paul, he says, you know, I kind of like that. Because you don't get the big head. I know that you're the chiefest of all Pharisees. I know that you're a Roman citizen. I know that you are of the Jewish people. You got all the credentials. So it's easy for you to say, God, I'm good, thanks. So I'm going to keep you with a little need in your life. And if I can keep you with a little need, and if I can keep you digging a ditch, and you know that you don't have enough to fill that ditch, and you've done this and you've done that, but then you can't do that, you find something that you can't do on your own, I like that, God says. I like it when you're like that. Some of you wonder why you have so many problems in your life. Even though you are a believer, even though you are a Spirit-filled believer and full of the anointing, But for some of you, that's the only time God gets to hear from you, is when you're praying for deliverance, is when you're praying for help, is when you're praying for, get me out of this situation, God. So God says, if that's the only time that I get to hear from you, then I'm going to do whatever it takes to get you to seek me. Even if it requires you having needs and having to come to me. In the book of Exodus, when the children were leaving Egypt, the land of Pharaoh, there's a reason why the cloud moved. And there's a reason why the Israelites followed that cloud. Why? Did they just like being around the glory of God around them? No. They liked the food. They were hungry. So whenever the cloud moved, they moved. Because the Bible said that the food that God gave them only lasted one day, and then worms got in it. And then they had to get some more food for the next day. So when the cloud moved, they said, I need him because he's my source to eat. If I don't follow that cloud, I don't get dinner. That's the law of God. It's God's attraction. That's what attracts God. Do you know what will stop you from getting your miracle today? More than anything else? Peer fear. People fear. What people think. What somebody might say. What will they think? I don't know if I need to go down there for prayer or not. I don't want people staring at me. I know the worship team asks us every now and then to come to the altar. They'll start wondering if I go up there and kneel while they're singing. People fear. We've created a culture of shame in the churches. The Bible illustrates this perfectly. One of the greatest miracles in the Bible illustrates this perfectly. When Jesus said to the man in the temple, he says, stretch forth your hand, and the guy in the temple had a withered hand. And that guy had to make a choice when he's standing before Jesus. Am I going to stretch out my good manicured hand, the nice clean one, or am I going to give God my withered hand? While all the people in the temple are watching. And the moment that he decided to expose the withered part of his life to the master, the law of attraction kicked in. If he had raised out his good hand to shake Jesus' hand, then God would have found somebody else to give the miracle to. But the moment that he got real, and the moment he said, you know, I know everybody thinks this, but in reality, my life looks like this. God sees our needs. And today he's saying, bring me the withered hand. Bring me the withered places in your life. The addictions, the bondage, the fears, the dysfunction. Whatever it may be. Bring it all to me. Just bring it all to me. The abuse, the hurt, the fear. Bring it to me. God's attracted to the darkness. He's attracted to the pain and to the emptiness. That's why he says in Mark chapter 10, when blind Bartimaeus was there crying out, and all the people said, you just need to be quiet. Man, you're loud and you're annoying. And he cried louder. Did blind Bartimaeus get his miracle because he had great faith? Did he get his miracle because he was being so spiritual and acknowledging the master? No, he got a miracle because he decided to expose the need in his life so loud that Jesus couldn't pass him by. dig a ditch. That's what attracts God. And listen to this. You can't have the miraculous while playing it safe. You know why God says in Revelation, in the book of Revelation chapter 3 to the Laodicean church, do you know what the terrible sin there was? I mean, there was. Do you know why God says, I just want to spew you out of my mouth? Jesus says in Revelation 3 about the Laodicean church, he says, you know, we are rich and then we are increased with goods. Oh, so you're saying they had too much money? No, that wasn't the problem. They said, we are rich and we are increased with goods. And this is the line that got them. And we have need of nothing. You know, it seems when you first start out in life, you ain't got nothing. You barely have two nickels to rub together. And you always are praying, God help me, God bless me, God help me pay all of these bills I've got to pay. And even throughout life, we encounter these trials in our lives. And when that happens, we go to God and God begins the supernatural power and work of transforming you and I into His child to become the image of His Son, Jesus. Jesus, who was and is so perfect, in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, he says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so when we respond to those trials in our life with God's grace, we'll experience the supernatural power of God's Spirit, and it'll become being manifested in our life. And when that happens, we begin to bear fruit, and the manifestation begins through the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, which is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and self-control. All of these little fruit buds start beginning to blossom, and as we mature in our faith through that, God uses those tests and those trials that we come upon and that we face to develop our character for our ministry into His kingdom. Because you see, God has the ability to deliver us from every trial or distress that we go through. However, though, He often chooses to deliver us, to strengthen us, and to preserve us in the middle of the trials that we're going through. Because the danger is that when we start saying, you know, I'm rich, and I've been increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, thanks God, it's been a good ride, you're doing great, keep the blessings flowing, I don't need anything, then God says, uh-oh, stop the oil, let it cease. And may we as a church of prayer faith never come to that point. Never get like that where we sit back and we say the very thing that you hear after a big Thanksgiving meal, I'm full, I'm stuffed, I can't eat another bite. Time for a nap. We need to stay hungry for the grace of God. We need to stay hungry for God to fill our lives and their needs. That's the law of attraction. That's what attracts God, is to stay empty, to be able to dig ditches, to stay hungry for God's presence. Because as long as there's a vessel to be filled, then that oil will keep pouring. God will keep pouring that oil in our lives. But the moment we say that I'm full, it ceases. Trust God with a need in your life, a fresh need. Don't let anybody shut you up. Don't let anybody embarrass you about your need. Don't let anybody tell you that what you're going through doesn't matter. Because God is drawn to your sorrow and my sorrows. He's drawn to your sickness. He's drawn to your brokenness. He's drawn to your emptiness. It's the law of attraction. God's drawn to your hurts, your afflictions, your sufferings, all of your desperate needs that you have in your life. God is drawn to that. And that is what attracts God. But you have to have a need. There's a story about a tool company that manufactured drill bits. And they were facing financial losses, and the company gathered all the executives to discuss about the problem in the company, about we got a problem with our drill bits not selling. We have a declining demand for drill bits. Nobody wants to buy drill bits anymore. So the CEO challenged the board of all these high-paying executives before him, saying, how can we revive the drill market? Well, no one said anything. They didn't know. So after a long, embarrassing silence, one of the board members spoke up and dispelled the fog by saying, he said, sir, I believe that the market isn't for drill bits. I think the market has the need for more holes. And so it's almost like their eyes were open. It's like, huh, I never thought about that. I mean, in other words, to put it another way, there's no market for products, only a market for what products can do. I mean, Adam knows this, selling furniture. Nobody cares how good the couch is. They want to know how comfortable it is. I got a need to be comfortable. I don't care that it's Broyhill or whatever the name of the furniture is, and it's got this fine Corinthian leather or whatever it may be. I just want to be comfortable. You know, I just want my need fulfilled. The Xerox Corporation shows this very principle in action, because Xerox successfully pioneered the copy machine industry by leasing their copiers at a pay-per-copy price rather than selling these copy machines just outright to their clients. They correctly saw that the market was for copies that people need to make, not having copy machines themselves, because when those things break down, it's almost an act of Congress to get someone out to fix those things and hope they work after that. But in a similar fashion, you know, many come to God to have their needs met, but they really never want to know God or really know Him in a deeper way. They just want Him to do this, kind of like going to God in a strip mall shop and saying, I just need this, and say, thank you for doing this, I'll see you later. And if that's the case, then you can pretty much always count on having needs in your life for God to get you to draw closer to Him, because He always wants you coming back. And our Father desires your heart and my heart. And God also gives us the desires of our heart. But yet at the same time, if God gave us everything that we wanted, then based on just human nature, the way we are, and based on how we respond in our actions, then we would have no need of God if He gave us everything we wanted. I mean, we all make mistakes. We all know that in our lives, and we all have done it. We've all come to God with promises that, oh God, if you'll only do this, only just this one time, then I'll do this. And then when it doesn't come through, we suffer the consequences for our mistakes. We get angry at God. We give Him the cold shoulder. We drop out of fellowship, drop out of church, don't care about that anymore. And in the process, when we do that, just know this, that the enemy is watching. The enemy is waiting right there at the tree line, waiting for you to wander far enough across the field into his territory so he can make the attack. But just take heart knowing this, that our mistakes never, ever drive God away. He's actually attracted to you because of mistakes. Because you and I have made and done things in the past and in the present You made a mistake, but you're not defined by that mistake. And God will never, ever define you by the mistake that you've made. Just know that. Because that's actually the thing that will cause God's power to be drawn to you. The very thing that we want to cover up is the thing that God says, that'll cause my anointing to come greater upon your life if you bring it to me. Because the greater the need we have, the greater the grace God pours upon us. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 reminds us that, moreover, the law entered the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much, much more. Grace will always trump sin. So don't be surprised if you hear God say in your life, you know, just pour it on. Just keep it up. Don't stop for a moment what you're going through. Just keep pressing ahead. I've got you on this. Because God wants us to remember that in those dark and difficult times of life, this is where he loves to work the most. Just like the children's song, when we are weak, he is strong. This is what attracts God. That old children's song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. This is when God's grace begins to super exceed the darkness of the world that we see around us. And so whenever sin and darkness is abound, that's where I really begin to pour out my grace and just to let it shower upon you. I close with this. As we're heading toward the end of the year, this year is becoming a close in 2023, and we begin the start of the holiday season that's ahead of us. It's so important that we begin to say with faith, my God shall supply all of your, say it with me, needs according to his riches and glory. Are you ready to be filled with the anointing? Are you ready to see those walls of guilt and condemnation and addiction, all those things in our lives that we deal with, to begin to come down? Maybe it's time to renew your commitment in Christ. That is what will attract God, when you begin to bring him your needs. It's today that you decide to surrender your life to Christ. To say, okay, God, I know I've had it good for a while and I've become kind of independent from you. I know I'm not where I should be in my life with you. I surrender my life to you. I will start being obedient to your word. I will read your word. Surrendering your life to Christ. The day that you give him lordship over your life, over all areas of your life. What is it in your life that is attracting God? How would our daily lives look if we lived as if God's grace in us abounded and that we took that to heart? How would our daily lives look if that happened? What would it look like if we lived like we knew that God's forgiveness and mercy was really real in our lives?
What if God told you who you are?
That in him there is no condemnation.
No judgment.
No rejection.
What if God told you that he loves you?
And that he will never stop loving you.
What if God told you
that he doesn't keep a log of past offenses,
of how little you pray,
or how often you've disappointed him?
What if he told you that you are righteous
because of his righteousness
right now?
What if he told you to stop beating yourself up?
That his grace for you abounds even when you think the most horrible thoughts,
because you are already made in his image.
What if he told you that if you repent and if he's your Savior,
you're going to heaven?
No matter what.
What would your life look like then?
If you stop trying so hard
and just let God live his life through you.
Grace.
Mercy.
Forgiveness.
Salvation.
Redemption.
Through Jesus Christ,
our Savior.
We are loved. We are saved.
Now let's live it like we know it.
Grace, mercy, forgiveness, redemption, salvation are so important in our lives. Please join me as we bow in prayer. Father, we come to you today grateful to be gathered in your name, to lift your name up in worship. Thank you for touching our lives in ways that we cannot explain. And we lay at your feet our brothers and sisters who are dealing with all types of concerns this morning. And Lord, we ask for your healing hand upon them and bring them comfort and restoration in their lives. And we ask that you would free them from any worries or anxieties that they have. And we ask that your Spirit would just fill us completely. And Lord, we believe that you are our healer, our counselor, our great physician. And so we ask you to fill us with your Spirit, that we may be full of grace and joy and peace because of your presence that is within us. And may your Spirit's power begin to produce fruit in our lives. May your Spirit allow us to live in victory over sin that has weighed us down for so long. Help us to live holy lives, focused on serving you and being obedient and just to love you. Teach us to love you, Father. As we prepare to depart to our homes and various destinations, Father, help us to keep in mind to always dig ditches in anticipation of you raining down blessings in our lives as our faith grows in you deeper and deeper each day. And may all glory be unto you. In Jesus' name we believe and we pray. And all the church said, Amen.